And tonight, 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. Let's read the passage responsively. I'll read verse 1. Please join me on the second verse and every other verse through verse 6 tonight. 2 Chronicles 17, verses 1 through 6. And Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa, his father, had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah.
Tonight I want to bring a message simply entitled, The First Ways, The First Ways, W-A-Y-S. You know, not everybody who starts out right ends up right. That's a truth in life. That's just the way it is. There are many who start out strong and good and end up the opposite of that. It should not be that way, but that's the way it is in life. Jehoshaphat became king of Judah after the death of his father Asa, and though he did not end up the way he began, he did something at the beginning of his reign that thoroughly pleased the Lord and brought blessing upon him. We read a moment ago in 2 Chronicles chapter 17. I want to read verses 3 and 4 again. And listen carefully, because remember, this is a man who ended up not doing right, not doing well. But this is his very beginning of his life of serving the Lord. And it says in verse 3, "And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat." Do you know anyone else in the Bible that the Bible says the Lord was with him? The one man that's said of him more than any other man is that of Joseph. So we have here God's blessing upon Jehoshaphat. "And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel." So what I want us to do tonight is sort of take this chapter apart just a little bit and understand why God blessed Jehoshaphat. You read the end of his life, it's not very pleasant. You read the end of his life and you find out that he did not continue the way that he started out. But he did start out right, and he started out good, and he started out strong. And the Bible says God was with him and God blessed him. So let's look at Jehoshaphat more closely and see what it was exactly that brought the blessings of God upon his life. And from this, we can learn about God's blessings on our own lives. And I don't know of any Christian who's serious about the Lord who does not want the blessing of God upon his life. You're like me. I want God's blessing, don't you? I want the Lord's blessing upon my life. I want him to bless what I do. I want him to bless the sermons that I preach. I want him to bless the things that I teach. I want God's blessing on my life. And I don't want to end up like Jehoshaphat did. So let's learn from what he did at the beginning. If you're taking notes, I have these enumerated. Number one, he walked in the first ways of David. He walked in the first ways of David. Now, I want you to notice it didn't say he walked in the ways of David. It said he walked in the first ways of David. David had some hard times in his life as a believer. It says in 17 in verse 3, it says, "And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam." The first ways, what are they? They are the foundational ways. The first ways are the foundational ways. And many start off great, but end up not so great. And you know, the Bible told us in Hebrews chapter 6 that we're supposed to leave behind some things. The basic teachings of the Christian life, of faith in God, and all these things. We're supposed to grow and take the next step. And James tells us how we are to mature as Christians. It's all there. But not all Christians do that. The names that I'm going to give you now are the names of those in the Bible. You'll recognize them to where they started out real good, but they ended up not so good. First of all, I think of Eli, God's man. What a man he was. But he messed up with his children, and he let them get away. He was lenient with his children's sin, and Eli messed up, but he started out good. I think about Samson. He started off real good. And he went on and had the power of God on his life as a judge of Israel. All these things, when you read the story of Samson, you read awfully good things, but then you start reading little bits and pieces of compromise in his life that eventually put him between the pillars of the temple in chains. And there he was judged for his sin. But it says of him that he killed more of God's enemies in his death than he did in his entire life. He started off good, but he ended up having his eyes burned out because sin blinds and sin grinds and all the things that have been said about it through the years. You think about Asa. You think about Solomon. Solomon in particular, how he started off good. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, his prayer of dedication for the temple that he was building. And he said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and will heal their land. You see, he started out good, but he ended up marrying 300 and having 700 spares. And the Bible says that he succumbed to his wife's false God's beliefs. I've often asked myself the question, and I don't know that I find the answer in the Bible, but he married heathen women who worshiped false gods. I wonder how many of his children, if he had them by those women, were put through the fires of false gods or fed to the alligators, crocodiles. I think about Balaam, started out good, compromised and compromised God's people. Ananias and Sapphira, God's servants in that early church, but got stingy and lied. I think about King Hezekiah, how he did so well. And when he knew he was going to die, he asked God. The Bible says there was not another king like Hezekiah in the entire Bible, none before him and none after him. But when he asked God for 15 more years, he compromised once again. And it ruined a nation and it ruined a man. I think about Moses, started off great, ended up striking the rock, ended up not being able to go to the promised land. Think about Aaron and Demas, the Apostle Peter for a while, and many others in the Bible who started out right but ended up making some terrible mistakes in their lives. And for some of them, it cost them everything. Others, they were able to get right with the Lord. Even John Mark, when you think about him, he quit the ministry, walked out on Paul and Barnabas, walked away from the ministry. We don't know why. Maybe it was because he was young. Maybe it was the scare that he got from the experience that I had with demons and all the rest of it. We don't know the reason that he quit. We just know that he went home. But by the end of his life, he had gotten right with the Lord, and we're very, very thankful for that. And so the first ways are those foundational ways. Each of these men that I mentioned, and of course even Ananias and Sapphira, man and woman, think about this. They started out right. They started out strong. They had a good foundation. And when I think of these names, the first ways are the best ways when the first ways are centered on the Lord. And I think about how the Bible says Jehoshaphat followed in the first ways of his father David, not in his adulterous ways, not in his murderous ways, not in his compromising ways, but in his first ways as God chose him and God blessed him. When I think about David's first ways, they were the ways of faith and trust. You know the stories, don't you? God helped him killing a lion and a bear. And he gave testimony to that, that God gave him strength in killing a lion and a bear. God helped him with the Philistine champion Goliath of Gath. 5 smooth stones, and it only took one to knock him down and kill him. The champion of the Philistines. But yet he won with God's help. God helped him with the enemies of God's people. Time and time again, you see victories in the life of David. And God helped him escape from the hand of King Saul. God blessed him in so many ways. And that's the first ways that we're talking about. Jehoshaphat followed in the first ways, those ways of faith and trust, you see. Faith and trust is the best foundation with which to begin. Faith and trust, let me say it again, is the best foundation with which to begin. And every child of God starts out his way just like this. He gets so excited about being saved, trusting Jesus as his Savior. When I was just a little boy, I got saved at 8 years of age. And I remember my first attempt at witnessing. There was a girl that rode my bus to school, elementary school every morning. And I don't remember her name, but I remember she had blonde hair, big glasses, and large teeth. I remember that. And she was pretty underneath all that, but she was still in elementary school. And I remember that I had gotten saved, and I wanted to witness to somebody and tell them how to get saved. So I looked at her one day riding the bus to school. I said, "Have you been saved?" And she said, "Yes, I have." And then she started to tell me about when she almost drowned. And I thought, I don't know where to go from this. And as an elementary 8-year-old, 9-year-old, you don't know where to go. And I didn't know where to go. Well, then what happens is we start out strong with faith and trust, and then we grow, and that faith begins to wane, and circumstances cause us to waver in our trust. Circumstances of life, things that happen with people and friends and places, and all the things that happen in our lives, and our trust begins to wane. And yes, it does. Where was the Lord when I needed him most? Nobody was there to remind us that he was in the same place he's always been, and he is. I think about Eli and Samson and Asa and Solomon and Balaam and Ananias and Sapphira and King Hezekiah and Moses and Aaron and Demas and the Apostle Peter. All of them had great, strong beginnings, but not all of them had happy endings as they compromised in their Christian life. So why did God bless him? Because he walked in the first ways. You remember when you got saved? I'm glad this sermon's on a Sunday night for the Lord's Supper. I wanted you to think back when you got saved. I think about my salvation on an absolutely regular basis and how thankful I am. How thankful I am for that day in February in 1964. How thankful I am for Bill Kellogg, who's now gone on to heaven, and how he preached that night. And how thankful I am for my pastor, Bob Humphreys, who invited Bill Kellogg to come and preach at our church and all that. How thankful I am for every circumstance that led to my coming to faith in Christ. I count my blessings, and I literally name them one by one and ton by ton. Those were the first ways. I wish my Christian life had remained the same. Number two, the Bible says in verse 3 that he sought not unto the false god Balaam. He sought not unto the false god Balaam. It says, and the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of David his father and sought not unto Balaam, that false god, Balaam. You know, you think about this, and the way of false gods is a secondary way. It's not the foundational way. It's the wrong way to go. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, the Bible says twice in the book of Proverbs. And the wages of sin is death, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. All these verses leading to the same thing. He that believeth not is damned, and the Bible says, and already because he hath not believed on the name of the Son of God. How the Bible is so clear. And so once you stop trusting the Lord and his power, the next step is idolatry. You got to trust in something. What else are we going to do, you see? If it comes down to that, tonight we were joking, Irma and I were joking just a little bit about prayer. And she said, "Oh, has it come to that?" Oh, yeah. And I said, "Yeah, I guess it has come to that. It's come to that." And we joke about that. But the bottom line is prayer is so often a last resort for any situation that we get into. It seems like we seek other avenues and things that come before the Lord. Balaam was the sun god, the god of light, and the god of provision. And Satan is an angel of light, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. It says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. We're attracted to those things. And when a Christian turns from the true light, he will always follow a false light. Let me say it again. When a Christian turns from the true light, all he has left is the false light. And he will follow that to its end, which is not good, because there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. And the wrong road always does what? Leads to the wrong place. And so Jehoshaphat left the false gods. He left them alone. The Bible says he wouldn't follow them at that time. And listen, we should leave those alone too. I've written down a few things that may come between us and the Lord. Money. Why is that always a thing that comes between us and the Lord? We can trust God with our never-dying soul that we've never seen, to a Jesus we've never met other than through faith, to a God we've never seen through a Bible we've only read, but we can't trust him with a copper penny. And that's just our human way. Money, lands, things that we own, our possessions, our things, are our allurements that will pull us away from the Lord. A false god is that which turns our trust away from the Lord, you see. Something that comes between us and the Lord is a false god. Simple terminology, simple definition, but good for the goose is good for the gander, and sometimes we need to be reminded that there are simple things that step between us and God, and we can justify it any way that we wish. The third thing that we see in here, that why God blessed him, and I love this, the Bible says he did seek the Lord. Look at verse 4. He did seek the Lord. He said, but sought to the Lord, God of his fathers, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. He followed the right example, not the wrong example. And this is why God blessed him so much. There were so many passages of scripture that I could have included here in this part of the sermon, but I didn't want you to go to sleep on me tonight. I wanted you to stay awake, good and awake and alert. So I'm going to give you 1, 2, 3, 4 little passages of scripture about trusting in the Lord as we should. Because he sought the Lord, and he wanted the Lord, and he didn't want other things. He wanted the Lord, and God blessed him for that desire in his heart. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you knew I was going there first, didn't you? Where the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And then, of course, there's the ever-famous and ever-forgotten Psalm 37, verses 3 through 7. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do you see that sermon outline in there? There's so many things. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices. Did you see that? Trust in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for the Lord. Fret not thyself. All these things are marvelous promises that God has given to us. And then there's Matthew 6:33. Oh, if more believers could get a hold of this, they would see the blessing of God. Where the Bible simply says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Is that a promise or is that a promise? And then there's 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 5. 2 Chronicles, you're going back to the Old Testament again? Yes. Chapter 26 and verse 5, it says, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Wow. These are promises. And if they're nothing else, they're principles in the Word of God that we can follow and be admonished to follow. Just because it's in the Old Testament doesn't mean that it's out of date. And just because we're a New Testament church doesn't mean that we can't trust in what's written there. There are some today that say the only Bible that believers need to know today are the writings of the Apostle Paul, because he was the apostle that was given to the Gentiles, and that's what we are. But wait a minute, there's a treasure trove of promises that are found all throughout the Word of God. Go back to 2 Chronicles, go to the book of Matthew, go to the book of Psalms, go to the book of Proverbs, and they're all there, every one of them. Given by admonition, given by principle, and they are there following the Lord and seeking the Lord with all of our heart, brings God's blessings to our lives. And God blessed King Jehoshaphat because of three distinct things. Number one, he walked in the first, not latter, ways of King David. Trust and faith. Secondly, he did not seek after the false light of the sun god, Balaam. He went after the true light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And lastly, the Bible says that he sought after the Lord. It's what he wanted. He opened up the scriptures, whatever he had. He opened up the prophets, whatever he had. He listened to the preachers of that day, whatever they said. He was seeking after the Lord. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, every relationship in life is built on trust. And this is where the king had his beginnings, in faith and trust. But I wonder, have we left the first ways of our Christian lives, and have we resorted to the latter ways of our Christian lives? Do we follow things other than the real light, or are we actively seeking the Lord and walking in the light? The Bible says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, you and I will have fellowship one with another, yes. But it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship with him as well. And so we're talking here about a walk. And that's my message tonight. You say, Pastor, did you look at your watch? Not, I just looked at the clock just now. But what I'm telling you is this. You know, when I read in the Bible why God blessed a man who messed up at the end of his life, I want to know what he did. And this particular chapter, chapter 17 of 2 Chronicles, gives us the chronology of why God blessed him and what he did to receive God's sweet blessing. You see, being saved opens up every opportunity for God's blessings. But a lot of those blessings are ones that we have to act upon. In other words, we need to be obedient. If you don't seek after the Lord, what have you got? If you don't walk in the light, what have you got? And so he gives us these wonderful principles. And that's my message. The first ways in our Christian, all of us here have first ways. Think back to those ways of how innocent your faith in Christ was and how you wanted to do everything that pleased him. Somebody goes to a church and they walk in and say, man, this is the best thing since sliced bread. And I still don't know what was better before sliced bread. I still don't know what was. But then after we're there for a while, things kind of wane just a little bit. And it's not the best thing since sliced bread. But something changed. Was it where you went, or was it something in you? I don't know. We got to sort of start thinking of those things. When I walk into this church, listen now, when I walk into this church, I want there to be the same excitement in my heart that I had when I first came here 34 and a half years ago. You say, but Pastor, we have less people. Yeah, but we got people. We got folks that love the Lord. We got folks that want to follow the Lord. And when I say I'm happy to see you, I am happy you're here. And I'm so thankful. And I want those to be my first ways when I come to church. That's the way that I want it to be for me.